Well, they advertised, I'm sure they wanted ahead all along, but they were struggling in terms of recruitment because there had been several adverts for heads that hadn't sort of, come to anything. But they advertised the position September 2007. They advertised the position. I was still working in the borough, obviously, in the early years service, and I saw the advert and I was keen to apply. I mean, I knew it was a head of centre post as opposed to a head teacher post. Obviously, I'm not a teacher, so it to me it was a fantastic opportunity to be closely involved in the running of a nursery school, and to really realise the vision of what Maxilla should be. It was always a place with fantastic potential, and I really wanted to see it working as it should have worked, because the whole building was set up to be an integrated centre, and it worked really well as an integrated centre. And all the time I'd spent in a drop-in, I'd seen how well a drop-in could work, and there was never a really close liaison between the day nursery, children's centre side of things, and the nursery school. It's not that there were friendly relationships between them. There was sort of synergies with the governing bodies, but nevertheless, they operated as two separate units, and that was a shame, because the vision of having a single integrated centre was a really strong vision, and it was something which clearly could work and could work really well for the benefit of the children and families as well as for the staff. It was an opportunity to get to know the children right from the get-go, even before they're even born, get to know the families and really achieve something with them, provide that support for families. Not just necessarily families in disadvantaged circumstances, but all families, because having, I know from my own experience when I had my own son, it's a huge transition for anybody having their first baby, and it makes such a difference when you can. There's somewhere you can go along to where you feel comfortable, where people are welcoming, where you can meet other people in the same situation, make new friendships, make your own sort of network. It's really beneficial for the children and it's really beneficial for parents. So it was something that I believed really passionately in. I was also very strongly committed to the whole nursery school ethos and the idea of nursery school provision for children as opposed to nursery classes in primary schools. Not that there's anything wrong with nursery classes, but a nursery school, it has the opportunity to provide a really fantastic first step into education for children. Obviously, part of that is that nursery schools are or were at least better resourced and were more focused on the early years. Early years was their thing, so the staff were early years enthusiasts and specialists, and there was generally more ability to provide additional support services. So, the potential for developing that place was fantastic. Obviously, before I applied for the job, I went and visited and spoke to Glynis in particular and the other about how the staff would feel about having a non-teacher taking up the post as of a head of centre and how that might work. They were enthusiastic about the idea, really. I felt it could work because, I knew that there would be a strong team in the classroom who I could trust, and there would be the ability to focus on, bringing the whole centre together. And I think everybody was very committed to that vision for Maxilla. So, I applied for the job. And I was appointed. There was only two candidates, so it wasn't it wasn't too hard. But it did feel a bit like it was meant to be. It felt like it was meant to be. And that's how I started in January 2008. Well, as soon as I started at Maxilla, the local authority were on the case, and there was clearly a concern that an Ofsted inspection was coming up and that we weren't really prepared for it. And there is what was then a new thing, the SEF, the self-evaluation form, which was supposed to be completed by the school, to evaluate how well they were doing against the Ofsted inspection criteria. And I can remember poor Glynis, spent hours over writing this blaming SEF. So we had sort of started to address some of those points, but clearly, you know, we were in a situation, we weren't well staffed at the time. Glynis was the only teacher. Shortly, really, we only had Glynis. We had Glynis and we had an agency teacher, that was it. And we had, you know, there was quite a lot of churn in terms of staffing. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. We were lucky in terms of we only had a one-day inspection because we'd got a, well, I think it was called very good before. There wasn't out the categories had changed, but our previous inspection had been very good. So because of that, we just had a one-day inspection with a single inspector. And it was a nice day. So that all worked in our favour. But clearly I'd never, you know, had to lead an Ofsted inspection as a head of a school. And it was a very different framework from what had gone on previously. And it had been a long time since the previous Ofsted. We really did well, I think, in that inspection, although we only got a satisfactory, which was disappointing. I mean, obviously, we wanted to get at least a good. We knew we couldn't possibly get an outstanding because of, you know, there'd just been too much going on. It was a very fair inspection. The inspector was a good guy. And it was entirely fair, the judgment that they came up with. We were fortunate because the local authority, as I say, had already identified there was a need for support, and we had an excellent our early years advisor, I think they were called, a school improvement partner, Anda Bono. She was a tough taskmaster, she really was, but she was very good at her job. She knew what needed to be done. She gave us a lot of support and encouragement. We worked on it, and the turning point really was 6 months after I arrived, we were able to appoint Barbara as our second teacher, which had sort of always been my game plan, that I'd get Barbara in there because I'd worked with Barbara at Goulbourne and I knew what a fantastic practitioner she was. And she'd just completed her teacher training, so she was looking for a teaching post and we were looking for a teacher. And she and Glynis were really a dream team in terms of their different personalities and skill sets. And Barbara got to work in that garden straight away. And she was really a breath of fresh air. She had huge energy, loads of ideas. And we just worked at it. And we knew what we had to do. And by the time 2011 came, and we had our second Ofsted, we were on it. We were determined we were going to get an outstanding. It was a pretty grueling inspection because we were inspected as a children's centre at the same time. And that was a new sort of process. We had a really lovely team of inspectors actually for the children's centre who were clearly very impressed with what they saw and understood what the situation was. And, you know, fantastic support from our parents. So that was the real high point, I think. I think 2010-11, we were fully staffed. We'd recruited another teacher by then and we were, doing well. We did well. The constant worry and concern about, well, how are we going to make ends meet was always ongoing, and it became more so. But really, we always stood by our vision, which was we were going to be the best and we were not going to be compromising on quality. If we had to sort of, you know, we weren't going to be running a substandard service. There's no point. There's no point in doing it if we couldn't do it well. So we had really good staff. We had very dedicated staff who went the extra mile, you know. I mean, we all worked really, really long hours. We worked really long hours, so... We were good value. And the Children's Centre thing, because we had, after 2011, we had all, the Children's Centre funding all came to us. Well, that was helpful because it did enable us to establish the services that we wanted to establish and to make them work for us. So we were always full, for example. So at least we were maximising our funding, maximising our opportunities. The services were really well used. Between sort of 2011 to 2013, I suppose, 14, it was very much about building up the children's centre side of things so that we had that integrated provision. which we achieved. I mean, the final thing really was the two-year-olds, bringing back the two-year-olds and developing the creche provision, which, you know, I'd always wanted to have the two-year-olds back in that centre. Not the babies so much, because the babies was really hard to make it pay. When the funding came for two-year-olds, well, that was another way that we could actually, you know, maximise our reach. Well, the Maxilla ethos, I think it's got a very strong ethos, and it always has had. And I think because it was set up as a community organisation, it was set up by the community for the community. And so although the nursery school was always local authority run, nevertheless, I think that whole community feel pervaded the whole building. Because the nursery school in the early days, the nursery school was open, you know, it was a year round provision. So it wasn't, you know, it was never a sort of typical school, and it never felt sort of particularly schooly. It always felt like a community enterprise somehow. And we had a lot of staff who were members of the local community and could speak community languages. So it was always very welcoming in that respect. So that community feel that it was there by and for the community was a really strong thing. And that was the key strand, I think. But the other thing was about being excellent and really always striving to do our best for our families and for our staff as well. And those are really the two threads. But I think it was summed up. I think our guiding principles summed that up very well. I think that was a really... You know, it was a good piece of work, actually. That really helped to crystallise what Maxilla was about. Learning, growth, community, friendship and respect. And community was always at the heart. So we had the five, and community was at the heart. But that's what it was about. And, yeah, it worked. There was always discussions going on about the nursery schools and about the financial viability of the nursery schools. You know, it was always going to be a bit of a problem. And the funding situation became more difficult. And certainly after about 2013, you know, it was, well, OK, you've got funding for this year, but next year it's going to be less. And it was less. And I think the key problem was the building. More than anything, it was the building, because the condition of the building wasn't great. We did manage to replace the water system, which was really in dire need, but we couldn't replace the heating system. Obviously, there was always the issues with the asbestos, which meant anything carried out was going to be complicated and was going to be expensive. The roof was starting to go. You know, there was always a lot of concern, and it's the sort of building that if you don't maintain it really well, it becomes tatty and yucky pretty quickly. It was an expensive building to maintain, and of course there was always the question mark about how long is that building going to be there, which made it doubly difficult to commit the money. And ultimately we weren't really getting capital funding anymore, and we knew we didn't have the money ourselves to sustain that building for many more years, not if we wanted to sustain it in a decent condition. Bearing in mind that, you know, young children and families and babies were using that facility, and we had to be sure that it met health and safety standards. And frankly, the boilers were, you know, the boilers had pretty well been condemned. We couldn't go into, as governors, we couldn't responsibly continue on that site, really, if we couldn't maintain it properly. And ultimately, the best solution felt to be, you know, that we would combine forces with Goulburn, who we'd worked with very closely, and at least make sure that we did continue to have a really good quality, sustainable early years centre of excellence in North Kensington. So, you know, if we'd had a secure site at Maxilla and we'd been able to maintain that, we would have stayed at Maxilla. Because it was a better site in many ways. It was a great building, although it was old and it was falling apart. In the actual layout of the building was fantastic. It really worked well. It had a great feel to it, and the garden was to die for, you know. Because we always said if we could keep the garden, at least if we could just keep the garden, that would be something. And it's great if the garden can continue to provide that, because that was always the thing for children who had no garden at home. maybe living in very, very restricted accommodation, to be able to be free and to, you know, play and learn in a fantastic environment like that is just, you know, you can't put a value on that, really.